tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Thanks, Sarah. Welcome back to the final hour of Tip Today. Trudy is back with me. You're going to have a look at even more text.
Yes, in. Our callers, our listeners, are very animated today, and thank you very much for that. How could she do this? This is in relation to Frances Fitzgerald. How could she do this not only to her own party, but to the country at large, and tell blatant lies in the Dáil? She was prepared to go along with the Gardaí in burying Maurice McCabe. Not only should she be removed from her position, but should be sacked and not be a TD. That came in from Pat. It's Alice in Wonderland stuff. Sorry, in relation to Michael Lowry, another caller says, was Michael Lowry putting the interests of the state first when a commission of inquiry found improper relationships there? We know the history of that. This is an Alice in Wonderland stuff from Deputy Lowry. Another person, same lines, Martina, Michael Lowry commenting on political propriety and fair procedure. Give me a break. Fran, it's a pity we can't do like the Dutch. They have no government and the economy does better. It's been 185 days since there was a government in post and they're doing better than ever. I have no tolerance for any politicians. They're all out for themselves and not for the country. Look at the state of the health service. What are they doing about the consultants getting paid big bucks but moonlighting in private? Both the consultants and their managers should be done for fraud. Personally, I think they're blowing this email out of context to the detriment of the country. Let's face it. Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin have their own skeletons in their respective closets. And the person says, P.S. I don't follow Fianna Fáil either. Hi Fran, this is Kay O'Connell in Ballingarry. I really think Fine Gael want an election because they don't want to admit any wrongdoing. Everyone would rather blame Fianna Fáil for everything. Frances Fitzgerald should go and there should be more thought of her for doing so. Brendan and Barris King got in touch, said if we had an election now, we'd be voting in Offaly again as the legislation to change this hasn't been passed. He says, it's simply just crazy. Senior civil servants are running the show. Minister takes the rap and her Secretary General will retire on his pension next February. A very irate mid-tip caller there. In relation to another couple of issues, electric cars. Councillor Michael Murphy got in touch. I don't know if you had a chance to say this, did you?
I didn't, no.
That he will look into the situation at the Mary Street car park in regards to free parking if you're charging your car there. And also that the Shore Island project will have multiple electric car charging points. And then Bridget in Kilmalash said she change her car, her much-loved diesel car, she added, in the morning to electric, but only if the lorries that trundle on our roads do likewise and the planes that fly overhead. She says, what's the point otherwise when the biggest polluters are still out there and remain in place? She also wonders what happens when the electricity goes out, you have a power cut, you're miles outside of town. What do you do with your electric car then, eh?
Oh, Lord. Did you have a look at the electric car, by the way?
I did, it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Absolutely fabulous,
it wasn't. I was expecting some sort of a boxy little thing.
Same little tin can. Yeah. It's absolutely a fab car, yeah.
All right. Thanks for that, Trudy. And you can call Trudy if you want to talk to her personally on 1800-938-007. Now, to the phones we go again. And Sinn Féin's Martin Brown. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Fran.
It's good to talk to you today. Your party is insisting that Taoiseach must step down before, as you put it, Martin, the game of political chicken goes horribly wrong. It looks at this stage as if it could go horribly wrong.
And look at that. This stage now, her position is untenable, no matter what Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil come up with later on today. We've gone from having that one email we were talking about last week, now to four emails, and we've gone back to the good old days of mature recollection. She can't remember.
She still puts forward the notion that, you know, legally she wasn't entitled to step in there in any fashion, and so therefore she didn't do any wrong.
Fran, at the same time as these emails flying around from the department that time, the party and her were giving Maurice McCabe and the whistleblowers full backing and all that, surely alarm bells were ringing that they coming out with statements about the whistleblowers and giving them full backing, that when she knew in the background that the guards themselves were trying to take this line on Maurice McCabe, that someone should have been doing something and raising questions.
What about the argument, Martin, that Sinn Féin are just making political capital out of this and that it's really not about Maurice McCabe at all, it's just that, you know, you're having a go at the government?
What we're after, Fran, is honesty and integrity from our government. The least value was expected is that, and it's one of those often enough, that we're not. The least we expect is that when a minister comes on the television or on the media, and the same with Taoiseach and any member of the government, is that we get pulled through to them. And this hasn't happened. And look at, we've had meetings now all over the weekend, and it's coming out today that even Micheál Martin knew about these extra emails Friday evening. What's all the meetings for? Other than trying to get themselves out of a corner that they backed themselves into, and to try and protect Francis Fitzgerald at every opportunity.
It was interesting. I was reading in the press release that you gave us that you're rather concerned, and I'm just wondering. I mean, it's very laudable that you're concerned about Gino Kenny's bill for medicinal cannabis, but I would imagine on the hierarchy of needs that there's other much more important stuff in there that you should be concerned about.
Right. It was in the press release about Gino Kenny's bill, but that's not the crux of the press release I gave you, Fran. The worry I have is that we have a 7-year-old child, Ava Berry from Cork, and you spoke to her mother here on your radio show.
Yeah.
She spoke out in Holland. If we have this circus that's being called by Gael are going through, Gino Kinney's bill is going to be put on the back burner, and there's no hope at all of that girl getting home for Christmas without her medicine. And these are the things that they're playing around with just to try and save Francis Fitzgerald at the minute, is what I see.
Right. But of course, I mean, it could be said that Sinn Féin drove a situation that Fianna Fáil had to respond to, and therefore they got in first with their motion of no confidence.
Well, we drove it because of what the situation that was there, Fran. That we weren't getting the truth out of Francis Fitzgerald out in the door, right, sir. And there is no confidence. You find anybody in the country this day, other than Fine Gael members, and they're even starting to jump ship, that have confidence in Francis Fitzgerald at the moment. So it's not just Sinn Féin, the whole country. And let me be clear, no one wants an election, but Sinn Féin doesn't fear one either. I meet people on the street every day, and they have no bother with an election.
What about yourselves, though, Martin? I mean, you're a party in transition. Gerry Adams stepping down over the next while. You'll need a new leader. You're not in an ideal situation for an election, really.
There's no party ever in an ideal situation, but it was made clear last week that when an election is called, that Mary Lou will lead us into that election. And in the new year, we have said it's our audition, that there'll be a special audition to pick a new leader. But until then, if we have an election before Christmas, is Mary Lou McDonald that will lead us into it? And we have no fear of that.
What about in Tipperary? Because we know that David Doran has thrown his hat into the ring for a Sinn Féin nomination, as has Catherine Carey. What about Martin Brown?
Martin Brown hasn't declared that. Yes, Brian, I've said before, until I meet my own coming and my own family, till I sit down and discuss it with them, then I'll decide. I would hope that I'd get the nod to go ahead, but I won't declare that until I speak to 10 people.
Right, but I mean, you know, things are moving very quickly. The political machine is in action here, and you might need to decide that very quickly, Martin.
I will have that done over the next day or two, Fran, and I'll give you a buzz when there's a decision made on that.
All right.
But look, Sinn Féin in Tipperary and Sinn Féin in the country, we're happy where we are. We are happy that if there's an election card before Christmas, we've contested. We often increase our numbers.
Right. And would you be happy to compete against David Doran and Catherine Carey for that nomination?
I would. Look, everybody wants to put their hat in the ring.
Yeah.
When it comes to convention time. And look, like I said, I hope that I get the nod from my own coming to put my hand forward, and when there's a convention held over the next week or two.
But as Charles Dickens might put it, Barkis is willing. I mean, you're willing to accept it, are you?
I'm willing to accept it if that's what my local government wants me to do.
Right, and you might know that in the next couple of days.
We'll know that in the next couple of days, Fran.
All right, and just your instinct on this, by this evening we should know, but do you think there will be a snap election?
I don't think so, Fran. I think that the optics of it is that Francis Fitzgerald would probably step aside.
Right, but do you think that the agreement with Fianna Fáil is damaged to the point of no return, really?
It probably is to a certain extent, Fran. But Fianna Fáil should say what they like. Fianna Fáil are in government.
Right.
They're not opposition. And they've shown the more this government goes in, or longer in its term, Fianna Fáil are stuck right. And just one thing, Mr. Alan Kelly, let it not be forgotten that he was in government when these emails flying around and this going on with Morris McCabe. There needs to be a whole clean out of the department up there as well, Department of Justice, because Rice, they've put her in this, but she's over and she must take the rap this time. But there needs to be a whole clean out and a restructuring of the Department of Justice itself, that this doesn't happen again.
All right. All right. Martin, good to talk to you today, and thanks very much indeed for coming on to us, and our apologies there for the condition of that line. It always seems to be an issue with Martin's phone, even when he changes phone, but there you go. 1800 938 007. You can text on 083 311 3311. Lots more after the break.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
The British Irish Chamber of Commerce has published a framework for how trade between the UK and Ireland could operate after Brexit in a bid to unlock the current impasse over the Irish border. Now, Katie Daunton was one of the main authors of the paper and head of Brexit research, and Katie joins me online. Good morning to you, Katie.
Good morning, Fran.
You want to see the establishment of a new customs arrangement, is that right, Katie?
Yeah, so what we're proposing is that the UK and the EU would form a customs arrangement after Brexit. So I think a lot of people might have heard of the Turkey model, which is Turkey is in a customs union with the EU. And what we're proposing is much more kind of enhanced version than what Turkey has. So we're saying a customs arrangement that would cover the trade of all goods. And it's kind of built on two key pillars, which is continued regulatory alignment in perpetuity, so into the future. And also for this customs arrangement to align its external tariff with that of the EU customs union, which would mean that the UK would have to relinquish its right to pursue its own trade deals after Brexit. But what we're saying, in place of that, they would get input into EU-negotiated trade deals and get the automatic access to those markets on the same terms that the EU would sign for itself.
So just for clarity then, are you saying that Northern Ireland would remain within the single market and the customs union?
No, so they'd be outside the single market. So what we're saying then, kind of, because then, you know, this is covering goods only. So we're saying that it should be coupled with a comprehensive deal looking at services. And we've pointed to a few kind of pre-existing models. So one is CETA, which a lot of people will be aware of, which is the recently completed deal with Canada. That's kind of started its implementation phase in September. And the other one, which is probably a bit less known, is what's called the Deep and Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement, which is an agreement between the EU with Georgia, Moldova and Ukraine. And it's kind of, I suppose, in preparation for them to become closer to the EU trading model. So what we're saying is, and how we think this could alleviate the need for a border, is that customs checks are predominantly done at borders, but it's not actually the customs generally that are being checked. It's also, there's a huge regulatory factor to that. So that's why kind of we think with regulatory alignment, with those two together, there should be a way of alleviating the need. And by the UK giving up its right to have its own trade deals, then it's also kind of protecting the integrity of the single market, because you're not going to have goods being imported into the UK under different regulatory standards, say, than that of the EU, and then kind of getting into the EU by the back door of Ireland. So that's kind of what we're trying to cover off here.
And why, and just, this is for my own clarity on this, Katie, why wouldn't we have the notion then that it's the Irish Sea would be the border as such? And the British government has said absolutely not for that.
No, this isn't kind of putting a border in the Irish Sea. This is actually, this isn't kind of a special deal between Ireland and the UK. What we're saying is that this would actually be a good deal for the EU and the UK, which would mean that there would be no border. So it would address the problem at UK ports similarly to the one on the border of the island of Ireland.
Okay.
So it's kind of an all-encompassing trade agreement. I think, you know, from an Irish business perspective and a UK business perspective, while the bilateral trade is also very important, there's also, you know, the trade between the UK and the EU more generally. And also there's the UK, which serves as the land bridge for a lot of Irish companies who export to the EU. So it's trying to, from a business perspective, address all those issues in a way that doesn't impact unduly on the trade and the free movement of goods. No. And it also kind of looks at the supply chain issue as well in terms of goods manufactured in the UK, used parts and supplied manufactured all over the EU as well.
And have you the ear of anybody in the British government on this?
We are circulating it broadly. We have circulated it to a number of UK officials, and we are going to be engaging in an intense round of briefings and things like that on this. So, you know, the initial feedback we've had has been positive, and we're just going to build on that and kind of try and get that further. It is, you know, it was just published yesterday, so it takes a while for these things to develop. But, you know, it is something that we're actively engaging on at the moment.
Right. Are you satisfied that the British government has the clarity and the knowledge of the ramifications of what it is they're discussing? Because this was brought up last week in Europe to say that some of the people negotiating on behalf of the British government weren't all that au fait.
I mean, I think the Prime Minister is in a very difficult position in herself, and that I think it's very, you know, they haven't been able to define a position, because even when, you know, she says one thing, she's automatically batted down by someone within her own cabinet, which isn't...
Because her position is so weak, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's why we think there's a role for business. I think governments on both sides have been very much, you know, encouraging of businesses to put their voices forward and to let their views be known. And I suppose we've taken that call and actually put forward a solution that we know that not everyone is going to agree with every point on it. But I think we're putting down something that if someone disagrees with it, then the onus is on them to put up a counter argument and, you know, a different solution. So we can at least maybe start unpicking where exactly the red lines lie and which ones are, you know, intractable and which ones might be a bit more flexible. And I think at the moment there's nothing concrete for people to debate over, and what we're trying to do is, I suppose, constructively put something down that can be debated on.
There hasn't been very much that is constructive between Dublin and London, though, because a lot of tension there in how things are even discussed.
I mean, there is tension, I think, that's been seen, but I mean, I do think that there's a lot of close working behind the scenes that probably we're not always aware of. So I think there's a lot of political posturing, and it's not all, you know, when I think when you look at the leading figures, it's probably some are more tense than others and some are more guarding what they say, but I think there's a lot of work on the background that probably we're not aware of,
and that is a little more diplomatic maybe.
Yes, possibly. Yeah. I mean, there is, you know, there's a lot of kind of politicking around this issue, but I don't think that's always the full picture.
Can I ask you, Katie, finally, because we've been discussing it all morning, the ramifications of a possible snap election here in Ireland to Brexit in general? Have you concerns and worries about that?
Of course there's concerns. We're coming to a critical point in the negotiation process in terms of the EU summit on in December. And as a business organisation, we think it's critical that Ireland has a strong voice at that summit. You know, it's where kind of the possibility or the whether it'll be deemed that sufficient progress has been met. So therefore it's critical that Ireland is there and has its voice heard within that. And therefore we'd kind of urge all political parties to come together to find a solution that doesn't jeopardise Ireland's position at that summit.
And do you think if it was a case of a caretaker teacher, Taoiseach, I beg your pardon, representing us on that, that it would be diluted in some way in terms of how effective it would be?
I think it would be important, and I think it would be incumbent on all the parties to put maybe a joint statement on the country's position on Brexit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's actually one area where, generally speaking, there's been a lot of common ground. I don't think you haven't seen kind of the infighting over positioning. There might be slight nuances in the different parties' perspectives, but I think generally speaking, there's been a lot of cohesion amongst the political parties on the importance of, you know, the border and preserving the open border on the island of Ireland. So I think that's all positive. And I think, you know, if depending on the political situation, if there can be kind of, I suppose, a parliamentary backing, that would hopefully maybe alleviate it. But I mean, ultimately you would like a strong Taoiseach going over in December, and hopefully we'll find a solution that allows that to happen.
Well, we'll know in the next 8 hours or so. Katie, thank you for talking to us today. That's Katie Daunton there, who's one of the main authors of that paper from the British-Irish Chamber of Commerce. 1800 938 007, if you want to speak to Trudy, of course you can text me on 083 311 3311.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
That cabinet meeting is now underway as efforts to avert a general election continues. But speaking on the way in to the meeting, Shane Ross described the situation indeed as very, very grave indeed. So that's the latest where that is concerned. 1800 938 007. You can text on 083 311 3311. So that's the Independent Alliance seeking political accountability from the Tánaiste, which is basically saying resign, I suppose. Deputy Matty McGrath is online with me. Good morning to you, Matty.
Good morning, friend.
Matty, your take on this political crisis as they describe it, what's your thoughts on it?
Just at the outset, friend, if I might just express my delight at the news, you know, of the finding of Stephen Cornan.
That's great.
Really,
news.
Delighted, yeah. And his dad is a tireless worker, yep, for the community and for the IFA. And thanks to everybody. So it's wonderful news. And those kind of issues, friend, up and down the country, in every household, have different issues. And they're all quite intense, actually, is the reaction I'm getting to this prolonged, you know, debacle and, you know, drip feed and not blaming the media, but media last night, every state, and you turn around, you know, yep, they were changing by the minute statements, and now we see a blockage this morning, so suppose it's a curfew and Annie Fine Gael, you know, Minister of State speaking. So look, it's farcical now, and mm-hmm, you know, it looks like there's no road, only the high road for Minister Fitzgerald, and she should have done this, or the Taoiseach should have done this, you know, when he himself said it all.
Well, can he lose face now, Matty, and, you know, just get her to stand there? Can he lose face at this stage?
Well, so look, he's a new leader, and he's been again decided by a big majority of TDs, especially in Minister of State, he overwhelmed to pick him. So where's his battle now? This is the first test, and it's really proven to be very, very weak and very inept, because he was misled and in the Dáil by information that was given to the Tánaiste, that was given to him. And this is the problem. And I've been saying this on your programme more than once, that it's the permanent government, accountable to no one, and heads roll and must roll over the lack of transparency. But he's the one man, when he was in cabinet, who broke ranks, the Taoiseach did, Minister Bradke at the time, and said, came out and declared this was wholly unfair, what was the treatment that whistleblowers, but especially Jasmine McCabe, were getting, and he's the one man that did. And now he's left this drag on, and he should have been more forthright and dealt with this, because we could stumble into an election now that nobody wants. And I know others have said it, but look, in the time of the War of Independence, England's difficulties were exploited by Ireland. Now I think the only person laughing is Theresa May, because we're totally off the hook. And here we are with a gigantic problem facing us with Brexit negotiations. And I know the Taoiseach was embarking on, because John has told me they were going with him actually last Thursday morning on the European capital lobbying for support. That was all called off because of the crisis. So, and now it's dragged on and could drag on, and if it drags into the election. Look, the
certain politicians won't indeed. What about Charlie Flanagan's role in this? Do you think? Do you think he's got questions to answer?
Look, the cesspit of what's going on, I don't want to call it a swamp, but it's not far off, but it's senior management in justice. And I have issues with it. We all have issues up and down the country. We can't believe it. And what's going on at top level, I want to say 100% support for the Gardaí on the ground, but there's no transparency there. So the ministers are on thin ice, because they can't believe the information being supplied to them and the behaviour of senior officials in Garda Síochána and in the Department of Justice. And this is an epidemic now across the board, because they have too much power and they have no accountability and they don't care.
Do you think if anything good comes out of this, will it be a very, very microscopic look at what is a toxic department, that of Justice?
It won't happen. So we're talking about that for health with the last. I told you, two former Taoiseach, Heron and Cowan, told me personally that they were going to spend the HSC. I mean, they're incapable of dealing with it. And I was a fan of Charlie Hoyes, but he left. no minister really are in charge of the department. It's the pin pushers. We're very, very, very well paid secretary generals and all their promotions and their assistant secretary generals, and they have this in for us, and at least not to mind say the public. And that's an endemic now. And instead, we're coming up to celebrate the War of Independence, and Sarah had begging a year or two times. He's just kind of a banana republic that we have, because these people are unaccountable and are not being held accountable, and that they could send emails like that to somebody and then say it's not necessary to take action on it. I mean, at that level, that doesn't happen. I know a bit about, and I've seen the ministers, the way they work. You know, you're in a meeting, something happens, you're put out of your meeting quick, we have to deal with something, the secretary general comes in, or the private secretary, something has come up, has to be dealt with. There's about five or six, at least, maybe up to 10 officials involved at that very senior level, dealing with these issues on an hourly basis. So I mean, you don't just send an email and take your weekend off and tell you not to take action. Yeah.
Do you believe then that the tarnisher should stand down, I guess, do you?
She's no choice. I personally have time for
her. Is the Matty McGrath team all ready? Have you the posters already, Matty?
So look, Matty McGrath, I say to everyone, and you ask me, the election starts the morning after the count of the last election, because, you know what I mean, you're out meeting the people and listening to them. If you're not doing that, you shouldn't be there. And, you know, no one wants election this time of year. The country certainly doesn't need it. And certainly, as I said, with Brexit, with housing, with the rural crime epidemic in Tipperary and elsewhere, with all the issues of housing, as I said, you were talking this morning, and I count them in to Councillor O'Mara, what he came up with. But, I mean, for the 11 houses we built in the last 6 years, it won't get much solace to builders. Look, we're pushing papers, mountains of paper around. There's dysfunctionality at all levels there, and it just, I don't know what's going to be.
Have you any fear, because your old friend Shane Ross getting a little panicky there and coming out to the media and saying, you know, basically that the tarnishers should stand out. Have you any fears that, you know, that independent deputies might get hit in an election?
Of course I have, because the public are angry. But the problem I see with now, no matter what goes back, what configuration, I don't see anything greatly different. I don't see any overall majority for any of the big parties or even within the NASA's roar of it. So we should look at not only an election on the 21st of December, not only count going into Christmas Eve in some cases, and not only that, but maybe mixed March or April before we have a government. And Brexit, and the many mountain Northern Ireland situations, the many, many other various issues that are there. You have clubs waiting everywhere for announcements on sports capital grants. They're waiting over 2 or 3 months longer than they thought at this stage. The hospital waiting list, you know, the dysfunctionality of many areas. Our roads, you know, there's everything. So, the public might get to think that, and it's the fear I have, that there'll be very low turnout, and they might think, so look, we managed without you for 3 or 4 months there, last February, 12 months. Yeah. Do we need a government? So let the lads that are running it, senior officials, let them run the thing themselves, because they're running it anyway.
I suppose. Your intuition on this, will we have a snap election?
Now, I just have a text, you know, handed to me my daughter, a tweet. Martina Fitzgerald has been informed by one minister that Minister Fitzgerald has resigned.
Right, we've just got that in right now this minute as well, that
she has
tweeted.
My aide is about my driver today, and she's also my eyes and ears when it comes to, we're pulled in on the motorway, so.
All right, so it's just been announced that Francis Fitzgerald will resign. So does that mean it's off the hook for now?
No, because you asked me about the Minister of Planning, and so the Sinn Féin certainly will turn on him. It's ironic from that party, they're so concerned about the Gardaí, and with the history of Sergeant McCabe, the other Jerry McCabe and others that were, you know, assassinated. And, you know, look, it won't stop. Obviously, they want to keep undermining and attacking it, but I need...
So Charlie Flanagan is next, is it?
Oh, so that'll happen. I said, before the 1 o'clock news, they'll be calling for Minister Flanagan. So the trust and the confidence supply, I've said it a few times, kind of jocosely in the Dáil, that it was like a water pipe that had ruptured and the repairs were made, but there's so many ruptures in it now that it's going to explode altogether and there'll be someone washed away in the flood.
Can I ask you something else? Because I just see a press release from you as well, that you're demanding that Alan Kelly must apologise for, as you say, publicly humiliating even the Tipperary ETB. But he answered questions on this programme last week about that, Matty.
You never actually put the question to him about his interference at ministerial level of changing the status of the headquarters from Turles to Nina. I didn't ask that question. I did ask that
of him, and
maybe I sound correctly if you did, but look, here's lots of, I mean, what happened there? You know what? If there's Dr. Lennon himself, if there was Dr. Lennon, but there wasn't, thankfully, it needs to be exposed. We don't wash it out. When we go to Dublin, we pay the field for Tipperary.
But I put it to him, Matty, and he said that 10 people approached him with concerns about Tipperary ETB, and he felt it was his duty to follow up on that, and he said it was peculiar that these people decided to go to him as opposed to yourself or Michael Lowry or Jackie Cal or Seamus.
Don't believe a word of it. I mean, one person comes to with a complaint, just to follow it up. I mean, that's what they're for. If someone comes and tells you something, I've been something wrong, you have to check it out. But you don't have to check it out by flooding the ETB with 30 parliamentary questions. Enormous pressure on the system to finance them, and you don't make them have a personal nature. Mm. By the time the CEO and others are spending their hours and time and overtime and all those things, it's personal vendetta because he didn't get it to Nina, and there's not space in Nina. Tullis is the ideal place. And
well, we put all those questions to him, Matty. We put it, was there anything personal between himself and the CEO? He said, so, absolutely not, that there was nothing behind that.
What else would he say? I mean, I praise Councillor Hogan, who I've never spat with, and the board, and the CEO, and all the staff. And indeed, I served on that VEC. That's Alan's difficulty, as Kelly's difficulty. He never served on any of these areas to understand how they work and how the accountability mechanisms are there, and to get a clean bill of health.
But his role with PAC, though, doesn't that, in fairness, make sure that he must investigate if people come to him with issues?
We're all the same. If someone calls me an issue, I have to raise it and ask questions, but I have to be descending, and I don't blunderbuss and I start 20 questions. I don't get the answer I want, ask another 10. But that's not the way to do it. You go in and meet the CEO, and you meet the senior executive, the finance officer, Frank, and the lads who are running that show.
Was it not a bit of hyperbole, though, to be saying that he humiliated the Tipperary ETB? Because they came out with a clean bill of health out of it.
Yeah, he's right, too. They were never going near the place. Three ETBs were being brought up. Two because of reasons of issues. One is under investigation by the department. Mm. They brought up Gallagher Kenny as an example of good governance.
Yes.
And he insisted, singularly insisted, I have that from the chair, that he wanted to bring Tipperary up. He tried to kick them around. But when it spectacularly backfired on him, he landed a bombshell. I also
put it to him, Matty, that you overheard him ask Mary Lou to do the heavy lifting.
And he
said that didn't happen.
It did happen. She didn't deny it. I listened to the same interview, Brian. I actually listened to it. I was standing on the steps right behind him, and he turned around and he saw me, so he knew well that I was after him. He couldn't deny it. It was a total accident, as I said, but he did. But I'm not going to turn this into the, it's a different day today. Yeah. I'm not turning this into a promoting a Kelly show. I mean, look, he acted improperly, wholly improperly, in relation to the ETB and the good staff. And the ETB, like I said about the credit unions, the ETB educated half of this country at 3/4 of it over the years. You know, when private colleges and everything else, they were there, they have an excellent track record, and they were the VECs that time. I served on it for a while myself, and I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed adult education. And the steps that they're taking now at ECB, and adult education and forward education, I mean, it's wonderful. And I attend some of their assemblies, right, you know, where they're passing out, but getting their awards.
But you're still looking. You're still looking for him to apologise.
I am, because he acted wholly improperly, but I know he won't. But of course, he should apologise. And as I said, when we're representing Tipperary in Dublin or in Brussels or in London or anywhere, we play the Tipperary team, like the Holland team. If we have dirty Washington, we can wash it in Tipperary. We don't try and bring up the pack. And thankfully,
I don't want to be talking for Alan Kelly, but I mean, he is.
Come here, we have
Matty, you know full well that I have to put the opposite, argument to you now. Come on,
I do. Look, I'm going to take a joke. Fran, we had, thankfully, a spacking clean linen that was exposed and taken out of the pillowcases and waved in front of the pack, and we got a clean bill of health, and it was an highly embarrassing moment for Deputy Kelly.
All right, Matty, thanks for talking to us today. That's Deputy Matty McGrath there. All right, let me take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
If it matters to you, It matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP today, 1-800-938-007. You know, there will be a bed in heaven for me. There really will. Keep your texts coming into us as well on 083-311-3311. The HSE's Community Healthcare Services in the Southeast are establishing a new local forum in South Tipperary, and the area lead for mental health engagement is Paul Fallon, who is online with me. Good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Fran.
This will be a resource for service users and family members. Is that right, Paul?
Yes, Fran. It's for service users, family members, and your carers.
And tell me about, will they have a voice to you? Will they be able to interact with you and raise their issues?
Yeah, that's what the idea is all about. The idea has been building for a long time. Yourself and many of your listeners may be familiar with the document that the HSE published over 10 years ago now called A Vision for Change. Yeah. And this all came out of that. And my own role as area lead, I've been in post now for about 6 months. I'm based down in Kilkenny. Came out of that directly. And actually, part of my own post, myself and my colleagues around the country, part of the job criteria was that we all have our own lived experience. Now, myself, I would be a family member, so I'm pretty passionate about this. And it's a chance, I suppose, for service users, families and carers to engage with the HSE services and to try and come up together with a way to change the services for the better.
I can tell you immediately what's going to come up, Paul. I mean, there aren't any services, basically. You know, a lot of people with mental health issues are queuing up in A&E. People are dying out there. The suicide rate is just unprecedented. That's all. That's going to come up to you, Paul.
Oh, of course it is. And, you know, as I said, you know, with my own lived experience, I've been accessing the services with my wife, who has a bipolar disorder. So I would have been accessing the services for, you know, well over 10 years. So I'm very familiar with the issues that are out there, Fran. And I suppose, you know, as you pointed out, there are, you know, loads and loads of issues out there, and we all have our own stories. And what we're trying to do now, I suppose, is come up with solutions. Like, if we, you know, take the time for everybody to tell their stories, nothing might get done, because, you know, if you've got thousands of voices and there's thousands and thousands of people out there that can share their stories, you know, about what their, you know, journey has been. And but if that goes on, and that does go on, and that has to go on, because people need to vent and they need to air their frustrations, and we totally understand that, and there are mechanisms to do that. But what we are trying to do is be solution focused, to listen to what people have to say, and to try and sit down and come up with an actual plan. Like, the local forums are going to be engaging with the local management, and there'll be area forums as well coming up down the road. So there'll be an area forum off of the southeast, and it's this engagement process, Fran, is how we're hoping that it's going to work.
But like, I remember, Paul, I had great hope when A Vision for Change came out, you know, and yeah. I still think it's a great document, but it wasn't acted upon.
Exactly, yeah, and I had great hope myself, and like, you know, I had, in my previous capacity, I had set up a charity in Galway, which I ran for 6 years, and I regularly pointed out to the Vision for Change, and it wasn't really acted upon, but now, you know, it finally is being acted upon, and that's, I suppose, why I kind of uprooted my family, and we moved down to Kilkenny from Galway, because I believe in this document. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And I suppose the main thing is that management have bought into this document, all the way from the national office down to local level. So the local forums are going to be a way for people in South Tipperary to engage, to come along and to engage with the local management. Mm. And the idea for tomorrow night, I suppose, is just so that they can get information about how the process is going to take place. You know, like, you know, I don't, unfortunately, possess a magic wand, and we understand it is going to take a long time. Mm. You know, like, you know, all the cliches are out there. Rome wasn't built in a day and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure you know yourself.
Well, I suppose the smart aleck answer to that is they did as much of it as they possibly could.
Yes,
you know?
Well, of course. But what we're trying to do, I suppose, is do this in a smart way and try and listen to people. Listen to people who have the experiences, and then to engage with management and to try and build it up, build it from the ground up.
And
there,
I'm not trying to take from what you're doing, Paul, but like, hasn't that been done already? I mean, we've heard their voices on this program time. Like, for instance, one quick thing that could be done is find a way to fast-track people through A&E when they have mental illness difficulties.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with your friend. And, like, I don't think it is business as usual because, you know, people are familiar with the document. It's the engagement process now that the HSC have bought into and the same with the local forums and the area forums. And they, like I said, all the way up to the national level. So we've connected the dots now. So the national office and the local management teams are listening to us now, and they want to engage with the service users. So it's not business as usual. Like, there are issues that have been going on for a long, long time, but now we actually have to come up with solutions, and that's why I really want to reach out to as
many. And because you have personal investment in this, Paul, can you assure me that there's some movement with this now?
Oh, I can assure you there's movement. There's definite movement behind it, you know, without a doubt. Because everybody I've been speaking to, I've been going all around the Southeast, Fran, since I took up the post in the last 6 months. And I've been speaking to, you know, service users or families. I've been speaking to different community organizations and all that kind of stuff. And there is a lot of encouragement, you know, behind it, that this may work. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to take time, but it may work. But it's not going to work unless we can get actually buy-in from the service users and families and the carers. And I understand, like, you know, because I've spoke to a lot of people, and a lot of people, I suppose you could say, they have the battle scars from the battles down through the years, and they're frustrated. But, like, I really want, these are the people I want to engage with. These are the people who we need to listen to. And, you know, to come forward and see what it's all about, and to take the time to absorb it. And
I'm delighted to see that your meeting is in the Seesaw Building, who are doing just absolutely fantastic work all together.
Yeah,
really fantastic.
Actually, there's been a last-minute change, which I want to point out as well. Yes, unfortunately, Seesaw are doing great work, and I've been down to the coffee mornings and all that, and they are doing wonderful work. But due to a clash of meetings down there that came up at the last minute, we've had to move the meeting to the Raheen House Hotel. It's going to go on at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, so it's the same time. But it's just gone over to Raheen.
And everybody is welcome along to that, I presume, Paul.
All service users, families, and carers and supporters are welcome along to it. Just to get the information about what we are trying to do. And like I said, it's going to take time for people to process it. And there will be more meetings in the new year as well, friend. This isn't just a one-off deal. Okay. I mean, there's going to be lots more meetings coming up.
Well, listen, we're looking forward to following your success on that, Paul, because, I mean, it's a huge issue for us here in Tipperary. Yeah. And sorry to be parochial about it, but it's a huge issue here, particularly since St. Michael's was closed down, you know. I mean, a lot of issues around because of that.
There's a lot of issues, and now is a chance for people to engage, and I'm very positive about this, friend.
All right, good to talk to you today, Paul, and thank you for that. So that's Paul Fallon there, and Paul is the area lead for mental health engagement. That's tomorrow night, Raheen House, by the way. It's not the Seesaw Building. Raheen House in Clonmel at 6:30. The winner of our voucher today is Bridget Pollard from Kilmalash. So well done to you, Bridget. €50 voucher for you. That's it for me. Truly produced. Owen is on the way, and I'll talk to you tomorrow live from Pier Street in Nina. Look after yourselves, won't you?